Triple M's Big Breakfast for Team Moto and their biggest ever bike sale. Yamaha, Honda, Kawasaki, Suzuki and heaps more. Slash by up to $7,000. Check out teammoto.com.au.
We have been promising a big show announcement. It is time for it, Moon.
Brendo, Robin, Marto. I want to say I've had a fabulous year here at Triple M on the Big Breakfast. The end of last year, I've stood in for Ed Cavley. No one remembers him. he had a child, and that's when I started to get to know you guys and signed on for the year, and I am announcing today that I am moving on.
Yeah.
Very sadly.
Very sad.
It is really sad because I've really had a great time here and I'll miss you a lot. And we've had a great year. I have certainly had a great year. Some highlights that jump out at me. The monster car crash out of Big Mac Mazda.
When the monster truck reared up
and crushed a heritage listed hedge.
We gave away a car though.
Yeah, we gave away a car.
Destroyed two, gave one away.
And about halfway through the year when I marched one of the great stars of Hollywood in here, Danny Glover.
Oh, Danny Glover.
Robin.
Who took a real shine to Robin.
Fell in love with Robin, I can't believe.
Absolutely. And the looks on your faces when I said, guys, I've got somebody to introduce to you. It's Danny Glover.
It's Robin, Robin.
Oh, they were.
And I thought it was Bill Cosby.
Oh, hello. Not in this climate.
And, of course, the No BS lunch. The inaugural No BS lunch. Where I failed to turn up to work the next day.
Yeah. I've never laughed so much in a radio year in my entire life. Honestly, I've been doing this 25 years. You are the funniest bloke, the loosest unit I think I have ever met.
Yeah, thank you.
And I don't think I've ever worried about a co-host as much as I have about you, Lawrence Meaney.
Like, worried about me
dying? What are you going to say next? What are you going to say next? If only we released an album of what we say during the songs. Oh my God, you have been the funniest bloke.
Absolutely,
yeah.
And you know, people have scoffed at your dream to become a jockey, but it is that time. You do want to become
That's
one,
right.
And we admire you for
and
that.
And I think I can drop the 60 kilos required. It gives me immense pleasure to announce to Brisbane that the man stepping into my shoes is one and only Nick Cody. Nick, welcome to the show.
Morning, guys. Now, hello, mate.
If you don't know Nick Cody, he's the fastest rising star in Australian comedy. He's already been on Conan in America. He's done shows all over the world. He's coming home. But he originally a Melbourne boy.
Yes.
And some things we don't know about Nick Cody. Let's find out. First of all, Nick is, I met you 12 years ago when you first started stand-up.
Oh, so you guys are old mates.
Yeah. Old mates, yeah.
I've toured.
I've mentored.
Do you know that we had Nick on that day you were away a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
We had him on, so we've met him.
Nick assisted me on, he's toured as my support act and assisted me onto stage in Darwin because I was a paro a lit
here. Are you as loose as Lawrence Meaney?
They are, I don't think anyone is.
No, I don't think so.
You know what I mean?
Actually.
They are hard shoes to fill, massive shoes to fill. I'm looking forward to the opportunity.
What did you learn from that tour, just watching the master at work?
That you can drink before midday. Mm. I had no idea. I thought it was unprofessional, but the Moon Man suggests otherwise.
Especially on a Virgin flight. You've got to finish one drink before we give you another.
Rules.
just get those cans over here. Now, Nick, first of all, you're a very shaky individual.
I am.
Shaky?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a copper deficiency called benign essential tremor.
Mm.
Oh, good one to hide your problem. That's good. Yeah, good cover story.
Yeah, don't worry. The doctor told me it's a real thing.
Benign essential tremor.
Benign essential tremor.
Mm.
So you shake?
Yes. Yeah. I've got shaky hands.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
And funnily enough,
it's like I said,
it's like a human vibrator.
When I was 15, the doctor said, couple of beers, that'll slow you down.
Oh, my God.
And what a doctor.
You've never left him, have you?
I think it was a doctor. The bloke yelled it at me out of his car.
The barmaid.
You married?
I am.
Got kids?
He's
I
married.
I do. I have a little baby. 11-week-old Charlie.
Oh, no.
My wife doesn't know I'm here, by the way. I told her in Melbourne yesterday I was going to get some milk. And now we're up here on the show having a good time.
Now, Nick is another man batting way above his weight. His wife, Looch, is beautiful. She's an actress. People can see her in the Terry Shear ad. Is that it?
That is the one.
She's the
Where
kind
the
of guardian angel.
Catch fire.
She's the one that freezes time and fixes thing up. She doesn't bring that superpower home, though. I've knocked many things over.
And no, it doesn't just pop back up.
No, unfortunately
that's brilliant.
not.
You also, this number three fact you may not know about, Nick Cody, you went to the same pretend private school that my wife went to. When I say pretend private school, just in a crappy suburb in the western suburbs in Melbourne, they call it a grammar school.
You wear a blazer, but it's not a real private school, you know what I mean? It's just white trash in suits. It's like the spring racing carnival. And you don't know how hard a start to your day can be when you put on a blazer and stand at a bus stop in the western suburbs of Melbourne. I have heard some pretty brutal things in the early stages of life.
That's right. Westbourne Grammar looks like the NRL judiciary. And you're a big UFC fan?
Massive UFC fan.
Yes, Conor McGregor. You were on to Conor very early on, weren't you?
Yeah, a few years back. Got on before it all kicked off, and now he's lost a bunch of his last fights, so people are getting off him, but I still love him. He's bloody great. How do you not love bloody Conor McGregor? Robin, you're a massive fan.
Yeah, clearly. My Conor son's McGregor tat. At least I know who you're talking about.
You've never been into the octagon, Robin?
Yeah, no. You look a little like him, actually. Conor McGregor?
Thank you very much. Mm. Probably about 35 kilos heavier. If Conor McGregor was stung by a lot of bees, that's what I look like.
Stung by a lot of bees.
Is that bee a long-termer?
It has been. Yeah. I haven't been cleanly shaven, I think, in 9 years.
Are you trying to hide anything, or have you got a beard?
Well, I don't know what's under there now. That's what I'm worried about.
Oh, your face
I've got a little
disappears.
Mole on my cheek, but since then, who knows what this Australian sun has done to this to this face. I'm too scared to get rid of it.
Yeah, it could be all mole under there. And finally, you have toured with our troops.
Yes.
You've been to Afghanistan and Iraq. You've been all over the joint, haven't you?
UAE. Not Iraq just yet, hopefully. Hopefully get the call up before they get out of there.
What did you take out of all that, going over there and seeing the guys and girls?
Well, it just makes what I do for a job a lot easier. Mm. You know what I mean? Anytime I'm stressed out, at least there's not bombs coming in. So,
is it easy to get a laugh out of those guys? Do they laugh at anything?
Yeah, because there's nothing else on. Yeah. You know what I mean? They get two shows a year. They're just pumped up, you know.
Well, we're very happy to have you. I obviously sad we're losing the Moomin, but happy to have someone of your calibre joining us next year.
You don't sound that sad now, actually.
Yeah, okay, mate.
Yeah, well, you know.
Who's the Moomin? Don't know who you're talking about.
All right, I'll just see you.
See you later.
See you, Moomin.
We've still got a show to finish. Bye, mate. Contract.
Hey, get back here.
Okay, very good.
Put the beer down.
This is the Big Breakfast on Brisbane's Triple M. Breakfast, Triple M, Marto, Robin and the Moon Man, top of 26 and partly cloudy, possible shower later. Big show announcement after 7 this morning, and after 8 o'clock, your last chance to win a $1,500 Christmas hamper for Christmas.
I like to get out on the street and find out the pulse of this great city. It's called Street Talk every Friday, and today I'm out to Caboolture on a bus.
Hi, this is the Moon Man, and I'm hitting the streets of Brisbane to find out which issue has mattered most to this great city this week. I'm out in Caboolture, the home of the Python, and because I've been raggy on bus passengers all week, I'm going to get on board a bus for Street Talk to find out whether buses are a terrific form of transport where interesting people meet, or trucks full of failed DNA. Here comes a bus now. It's a Dribbler Bus Lines bus bound for Munterville. Should be an interesting ride. Straight away, there's an interesting person behind the wheel. Former host of Dancing with the Stars, Shane Bourne.
Hey-ho, it's the Moon Man. Thank God you're here. Get on board, my reptilious friend. I've been hearing you lowball buses, you rotten Komodo, and can I just say, if it wasn't for these sacred vessels, there'd be 40 more cars on the road for every bus, you rotten bandy. Now, move down the bus, please. Next stop, Munterville.
There are so many interesting people on this bus. Right behind the driver is our showbiz reporting friend, Bobby Shriekman. Bobby, what has been the biggest issue for you this week?
Hello, Moon. And hello to Robin, Marto and little Brindo too. I've been following Carl's wedding to the cobbler Yasmin Yarbrough. Ooh, they're in Mexico. Ooh, only days away now. Will Georgie Gardner go? No, she can't stand Carl or his brother Peter. After Ubergate. Ooh, look out. Bourne's breaking heavily. Ooh. I love being pushed up against the glass. Mm-hmm. Right into the back of the driver's cabin. Ooh. Ooh, I'm just trying to see what Dickie Wilkins wears too. Could you fit a hat on that fat bonce of his? Oh, horrific. Dickie. See you, Moon.
Oh, right down the back of the bus, it's Rusty Crowe. Classic backseat tough. What's the burning issue for you this week, champ?
Yeah, g'day, Moon Man. Wayne Bennett has finally tied the Broncos up. Like when I was in the Silver Brumby, I tied a Bronco up too. I too was one with a horse. Now he comes to the Rabbitohs to live the Rabbitoh way. He'll have to put an abandoned car in his front garden, smash a window in his house and patch it up with cardboard, and remove his front teeth with a pair of pliers. Have a happy Christmas, Moon. and to all at Triple M. Happy Christmas and Happy New Year. Good on you guys. Hey, Brendo, can I have a light? Come to where the flavour is.
Here's Matthias Cormann doing some paperwork. Matthias, what's the biggie for you this week?
Well, first of all, I want to say to Bill Shorten, the economic girly boy and the vibbly wobbly man that vibble wobbles, vibble wobbles like jelly on a plate, that we won't be held ransom for him wanting to show humanity to sick children on Manus Island. Also, I want to repudiate any rumours that ScoMo pooped his decks in the Engadine McDonald's in 1997 after Sharks loss in the one and only Super League Grand Final. It didn't happen. Or did it?
And in front of you is Arnie Beryl, a character introduced on yesterday's show. How are you, Beryl? What's the burning issue for you this week?
Well, first of all, I won't be vilified by you people for having a voracious sexual appetite. Yeah, by you squares on the Big Breakfast. But my issue is the Indians not playing the first test at the Gabba. It's a disgrace. And they're copying it right where they should in Adelaide. Whatever Marto said in that Uber, I concur wholeheartedly. Now, can you introduce me to Rusty? I want a bit of that.
Wow, Arnie Beryl, you sound a lot like Bobby Shriekman. And finally, on the bus is the former Prime Minister of Australia, Malcolm Turnbull. What's the issue du jour for you this week, sir?
Well, Moon Man, all I want to say is to all of your listeners, have a happy and safe Christmas. I don't know where the poor celebrate. It might be on a pergola, in a gazebo at the beach, in an annex off a caravan. Whatever, however you celebrate, enjoy your chicken or your prawns or what have you. Lucy and I'll be up at the Piper enjoying some foie gras and Sangiovese. So to all of you, a happy and holy Christmas. Bye now. Good on you. And that's Street Talk for this week, guys. See you later.
My two kids, 19 and 20, Harry and Hillary, I was trying to, Robin, you'd understand, when you give them a the old days type speech, I went to give them a you don't know how good you've got it because they both have their own bedrooms. We only have two children.
They're very lucky.
I know, very lucky. And I told them about our family when we grew up, four kids. There was my two sisters who are only a year apart, same bedroom.
Yeah, because it was a three-bedroom house, one bathroom. Mum
That's
and Dad
right.
had one.
One toilet, and Dad used to blow off on the way there. Then he'd grab his ashtray and have a durry in there. That was what happened first thing in the morning.
Wow.
It was a disgrace when I think about it.
My eldest brother had his own room, but I had to share with Stephen.
Oh, you had a share? Well,
the
I had
the loose unit.
Well,
in
I told
family.
The kids, I said, and they said, what, did you share with Uncle Joe, you know, with my brother, Jace? They said, oh, that would have been great. You two are so cool. We're so
you're,
close
you're
now.
You're really good friends.
I'm so happy. He lives about 300 metres from me these days. We love each other. They don't realise, because they see us now. We
you hated
the same.
Him.
No, we're 8 years apart.
Oh.
So up to the age of 15, I had this, like when I was the baby of the family. So, and then this other baby came along and then I was forgotten man. So all the way through.
Not
you
better.
Imagine being a 14-year-old boy and what happens at that sort of time in your life, Moon, and you've got a 6-year-old looking at you.
Things start to change.
Marto, stop talking to me.
Oh. Yeah, I just
face the wall.
Moon knows. Oh, no, you know what happened,
of
you?
Course
well,
I
Robin
do.
Was 14 too, once.
No, but she's got three boys that. Who have been 14, 15.
I wasn't doing that.
Oh, no, shared bedroom. Do any kids have shared bedrooms anymore? Or does everyone just ship into their own? Did you say you shared
with
I
shared with Steve. And
before he got hit by the car?
Yeah, no, he got hit by the car when he was four, so things changed. Oh. His frontal lobe was damaged. But he would do these weird psychological things at night. I'd be lying in bed, you know, off to sleep, and go, hey, Loz. It's like, yes, Steve. He goes, I'm not Steve. It's like, oh, yeah. Who are you, mate? He goes, I killed your brother and I'm wearing his face as a mask.
Oh, that's creative.
Like, oh, come on, mate. He goes, no, if you go to sleep, I'll kill you. It's like, oh, don't say that. It's like, I'm going to do it.
Oh,
it's like,
evil older brother.
This is psycho. Psycho. So I'll be in tears. Just shut up.
So what are you going to do? You want to talk
better.
About shared bedrooms?
Oh, but the older, no one shares a bedroom anymore, apart from partners, but brothers and sisters share a bedroom. Did you share with that sister of yours?
Yeah, my sister, we used to have to, we'd get masking tape and split the room in half.
Oh, my sisters did that?
Yeah.
You can't come in
you
here.
You can't come onto
can't come
my,
on my side.
Which is problematic when you're on bunks.
Mm. Right, were you on bunks?
And one person lives where the door is too, so it's like you've got to cross into the sedate and land at some stage.
No, well, my sisters would have the tape like halfway down.
Yeah,
you had to be on the left-hand side as you went through. The
same.
I love shared bedrooms. Can we talk about them?
Yeah, 133353. Let's get your shared bedroom experiences.
Oh, God. Sure, did you have a brother that threatened to kill you very often?
in your sleep.
And then made you kiss him once too.
Oh, you did mention that. Oh, you are going to mention that. Okay.
Yeah. Steve announced one day that we were going to kiss like they do on the movies.
You've told us
with open mouths. I said, no, I don't want to.
He goes, all right.
I'll poke my tongue out and just lick it. All right.
Just as I thought, still pretty uncomfortable to hear. What happened in your shared bedroom at the big breakfast on Triple M?
Your brother was weird.
He still is. He's a very, very charismatic man. You said he runs a really successful business. He's a very successful businessman, and people are magnetically drawn to him. Women love him. He's got twinkly blue eyes and animal magnetism. But what a weird dude to share a bedroom with.
Is he aware, like, does he go to work at his company and tell people that you and he kissed when you were younger to just see what it was like?
No, but I come to work and tell people.
Yeah, you do. You tell people. Matt, of the Gold Coast.
I was a cute kid.
Good, Matt.
We're loosening up.
Tell us about what happened when you shared a bedroom.
We lived in an old farmhouse. We grew up on a farm, and the place was a bit eerie. Anyway, my brother and I used to fight all the time. We shared a bedroom, not a problem, just growing up kids. But one night he gets there and goes, he knew I was scared of the dark. He goes, you know, the old lady that lived in the house before has hung herself in this bedroom off this light shade.
Oh, no.
I did not want to go to bed. Then I got used to the idea, he's full of it, he's lying. Anyway, one night I'm laying in bed and he put a bloody sheet over himself and was going, Matthew!
He ghosted you.
And he pretended to be a ghost. Like, I believed it was a ghost. I actually prepped my pants.
Oh, dear. Clean yourself up, Matthew. It's amazing how we used to do that to our siblings. Karen of Warner, what happened with you?
Oh, hi. I grew up in a house of eight, and there was eight of us in a post-war home. So I shared with my sister and my grandmother.
And my grandmother
was very, very old school, and she used to every morning she'd dress up. She'd put her stockings and her girdle and her gloves, and so when we'd get into bed at night, all of that gear used to have to come off again.
Oh dear,
and
A child doesn't have to witness that, but she was a bit of a ceremony
about it, and she'd take the gloves and the hat and the dress and the singlet and the bra, and the last thing to come off was her girdle.
Oh, the girdle!
Of course, all that air's got to go somewhere, and then she'd just rip off the biggest part, and it would never fail to have my sister and I in absolute hysterics every single day.
Grandma! What a great story. Wow.
And Mal of Caboolture, what happened when you shared a room? Who did you share it with?
Okay, there was 10 of us in our family. We lived in the western suburbs of Sydney, so it was five boys in one room.
Oh, God.
And annoying part was two double bunks and a single. So I'd be on the bottom bunk, but we didn't have normal mattresses in them days. We only had those inch foam things.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear. Hey. And?
So my version of a 14-year-old having a wet dream was actually my brother above peeing himself.
Okay, do not put the boy straight through the mattress.
You know, and you think to yourself, well, what a good night I had, but actually you'd look up and see a wet spot.
And you wonder why
we all left home pretty early in the old days. Now kids hang around until they're 30. Yeah.
It's a big breakfast on Triple M. That is game, set and match for this year, my friends.
It's been a big day. I'm saying goodbye to Brisbane, and thank you very much. I've had an amazing time here, and Nick Cody is going to do a terrific job. Very funny man and a great guy. But we've also got to say goodbye to somebody else, and that is our executive producer, Scott Menz. After how many years getting up to do breakfast, Scott?
This time around it's been 4 years.
Yeah. 4 years.
But it feels like 18.
75.
And you got a young daughter who you need to see a bit more.
Yeah, I'd like to spend.
But
a
you're staying
more
with Triple M.
I am. Yeah, yeah. I'll still be in the building. Yeah, but thank you guys. It's been a great 4 years, and it's sad to go. Mm. It's been a wonderful time working with you guys. Even all the coffee runs and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. The temper tantrums.
That's just Robin. She's hard work.
Diva behaviour.
Let me just say this, Scott. In radio, there can be some difficult people to work with. You are very calm. You're capable. Yeah. You're sane. You are also one of the great dribbling reptiles of all time.
What a finish. You have been a vital cog in a very, very well-oiled machine, and that's because of you.
Thank you, guys.
I don't say things much.
Wow.
So thank you so much for your contribution. You've been wonderful.
Appreciate that. Elocution lessons we'll work on for next year as
you
well.
You had trouble saying elocution, so watch yourself.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate that.
Becoming more executive. Anyway, he's not the only person to be leaving the Big Breakfast. And our one and only Lawrence Mooney, you bugger.
You are the loosest unit I've ever known, and I've known a lot of very ordinary characters.
I have taken, the blue ribbon of looseness.
It's been wonderful.
But you're so fun, and even at your loosest, you still make everyone laugh around you. So it's been an absolute pleasure.
I will miss you very much. I've had a great year, and if there's only one kind of benchmark in your work, and that is, do you bounce out of bed and want to come to work? It's like, yes, I do, because I know I'm going to be laughing, and I love you guys. So I'll miss you.
You have surprised me so much. I had money on with the bookies that you've missed about 20 days this year. You've missed
four.
Two.
Four.
Four.
Yeah. I can't even remember the other two. There. Well done, mate.
One after Russell Crowe. One after the No BS lunch.
That's right.
My colonoscopy.
Well, that's okay. That you're allowed to. That's a work thing.
But he got absolutely rip-snorted the night before.
Anyway, we put together a bit of a kind of a montage of the last 12 months with you and all the wonderfulness that we've had and the characters and the things that you've said.
Brisbane thanks you too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone loves you.
Mooney. I'll never forget you.
This is the best of the Moon Man.
Lawrence Mooney, the Moon Man. Here's Matthias Cormann.
I woke up this morning and I had put on some oompa-pa music. I had my traditional version music to keep me regular. Then I saw a little titty shortens jogging past the lodge and I yelled out, "You are a vividly wobbly man. I can see your titties wobbling."
Good one, Matthias.
Is Rich Uncle Mal.
Hello, it's the Prime Minister speaking. Is that you, Piper? No. What I want you to do is eat your cereal, leave yourself alone and get to school immediately. Good on you. Bye now.
Politics, you were talking defence strategy yesterday. What is our defence strategy here in Australia?
Let's hope nothing happens before 2030 when the submarines will be completed. Christopher Payne's very enthusiastic, but, you know, well, I'm not going to make jokes about long, hard things full of semen, but he loves a submarine.
Oh, my Lord.
Is Prince Charles.
Mummy hates Fergie. Always has, always will, but I think Fergie's terrific fun. Who doesn't love a two-sucker? I've been trying to get committed to suck my toes for years, but...
Bobby Shriekman.
Let it go, everyone. It's Miami here in the Kensington Palace, the Alabaster Mansion. Thomas Markle just flinging chicken bones everywhere. Oh,
yeah. Rusty Crowe.
New role I've got worked up is the bush ranger. I just take all the clothes off and hide in the garden. It's very similar to the bilby, but I'm just naked.
Do you get shot at or anything?
I jump out, all guns blazing, just screaming, stand and deliver.
How are the rabbit eyes, mate?
They're looking good. We'll probably win that trophy. You know, where the two blokes are hugging one another.
You prefer it when it was the windshield trophy?
Yeah, of course I did, yeah. Yeah, the Mad Monday role play. I just nude up at Terry's joint, drink excessively, and then lie in the back garden. She takes photos of me and passes them on to the press. We've got some new role plays going. It's interesting. Robin, you were talking about being attacked by an Indian miner. I sometimes do the Indian miner off the tall boy in the bedroom.
What does that look like?
Well, I leap off shrieking and she smashes me in the face with a tennis racket. It gets me pretty aroused. I play the seagull. I just stand outside the window shrieking and she throws me a pilchard. I've got to go because I'm breaking character. I'm laughing.
Lawrence Mooney, the Moon Man.
Do a big rooster sell fish?
When you say big rooster, are you talking about red rooster or is big rooster?
No, we've done this. There's a big rooster up here as well, Moon.
No, it started as big rooster and then it got taken over. I hark back to the old days.
You know what? I would never call my chicken shop rooster. I mean, Kentucky Fried Chicken, it's chicken. But rooster can go by another name. And no one wants to eat that. I left school and Dad said, "You're going to have to get a job, son. You're just sitting in front of the Mike Walsh Show chain smoking." So I became a customs officer. People will always say, "Did you pinch a bit of weed?" And yes, we did. I think it's outside the statute of limitations now. So that was over an Easter weekend. We went home to our Bantu's place and skinned up a couple of fatties. Still in uniform. The weird thing is when you get paranoid, you look around and you go, "God, there's five customs officers here. I am one too."
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
I will miss you, Moon Man. Go well, my friend.
Oh, thank you. Nice one. Bless you all.
The rest of us will catch you next year with comedian Nick Cody in tow. Have a great Christmas.